Welcome back to New Rockstars. I'm Philip Molina. Guys, this is Rogue Theory. Today, we're talking about the new Black Widow trailer. We've all been goofing behind the scenes about what really happened in the scenes of Black Widow.
My God.
But really, also, who might really be wearing that skull mask?
Mm. Yes.
And that's what we're really going to get into with our guests, Eric Voss.
Yay! Hey.
Just point.
Bam, bam, bam.
Are you just ready to go with these? Eric Voss.
Yeah.
Tom Eric Voss. Okay, they get more experimental as we go. Tommy Bechtold.
Yay! Oh, no. You guys broke him.
And Marina Mastros, of course.
Yay! Yeah.
Tommy, you can speak this episode. That'd
be great. Okay, good. Hi. Happy to be here, not here by force.
On this episode, we're also going to talk about The Mandalorian and also what's going on behind that mask or helmet.
A lot.
Yeah, how many things is he hiding back there? But first, big deal, trailer for Black Widow.
Yep.
I loved it immediately. Yeah. I love David Harbour. I think that is so funny. I think they're going to go for like an Incredibles vibe, dad hero.
Daddy Incredible.
Yeah. I also love that like Super Soldier Serum is way better in the U.S., I guess, than the Russian knockoff.
No.
Like, doesn't prevent you from aging or getting weight. But that is our first glimpse at Red Guardian now, but also of Yelena Belova. And then the Taskmaster shot that we theorized was going to be the villain of this movie. But we still don't actually know anything about how they're interpreting Taskmaster in Black Widow. Really cool character in Marvel in general. You can just simply think of him as a copycat, basically. But in this movie, who's he going to be? How are they going to use him? Let's hear theories.
Well, you keep saying he.
Thank you for doing it away from the table.
Who put milk in my wet milk?
Oh my God. I was not expecting that. That's.
We apologize to the PA who has to lay on the ground in front of the table.
Yeah, catch all these.
Oh, to catch all the drops. Loves
it. Yeah, I know. This guy's got dry skin.
He has to put each drop back in your cup. You keep saying he, but I actually think it's Melina.
Ooh.
And this is why. So. The KGB often, like, once you become not useless or you age out or, like, you break a leg or whatever, like, basically if you're not super useful anymore, then they go boink and they kick you out, right?
Yeah, the KGB goes off of horse racing rules where if you shoot you if you break your leg.
By kick you out, you mean
need to,
like,
have a triple crown or...
They kick you out of
they
living.
They turn you into glue. They kick you out of living, they turn you into glue. And so she ages out, basically, of the KGB, and she becomes really resentful. But she also has these same abilities, right? So she is the one behind the mask, and she's going around. Now she's free. She can do whatever she wants, and she's taking it out on the people who, you know, betrayed her, essentially, because she has given her whole life to this cause, and then all of a sudden, because she, like, what, turns 40 and has a few wrinkles?
Sure.
Right?
Is that really why they got rid of her?
No, but...
Okay. I figured probably
this
not
horse
that.
Is wrinkled.
it has too much wind resistance.
Widow's beak on horse mane.
But I think it's like,
Botox,
you know...
Botox up that horse. And
yeah, really. It's like, you know, in Lord of the Rings, when it's like no man alive and everybody thinks like, oh, it's a man. And we know, like, MCU doesn't keep every character true to the comic. So it's like they're willing to change things up.
Oh, no. I love it being women. It also is the story you're describing is the one trope from recent spy movies that I actually am totally down with, where it's all like the old spy comes back to get vengeance against the entire spy organization.
Yeah, 100%.
But sometimes it's the, you know, our good guy, it's our Ethan in Mission Impossible or something, and then sometimes it's, you know, someone who we've never heard of this person in the past. But in both of the scenarios, what's always really good about it and matches up with Taskmaster powers is this is the ultimate threat because they're exactly as capable as you are.
And she knows everything from the inside out.
That's right. Yeah, and it's like that whole thing when the Soviet Union started to collapse, there was the fear that there would be a lot of rogue agents who have, like, access to nuclear arms or have, like, insider information who are like, well, I hate seeing my empire collapse. So they start to act out in rogue ways. That's honestly how Putin rose. He was a KGB operative who reclaimed the empire, essentially. Are you talking about Alf, the puppet alien?
Well,
the rogue agent.
Puppet for for Putin. Well, not Putin, I guess, at the time. Anyway.
I'm so lost.
Rogue Alf. Go ahead.
Oh, man.
I'm tired of seeing the motherland collapse.
Willie!
How do you? You don't really remember Ralph, but you can Ralph Alf, but you can do a spot on.
Does anyone remember Ralph? I just don't know what Alf's connection is to Soviet Russia.
He gained prominence in the 80s, and people questioned his loyalties.
Well, he shouldn't have worn that trench coat too often.
Yeah,
well,
he ate cats, and people knew there was
the only people who wear trench coats are flashers, and. People were trying to copy the shooting
and
sequence
three cats
of the Matrix.
In a coat
like,
trying to buy a mouse. Oh,
yes. We can't reference that.
And Inspector Gadget, but God knows he was a pervert, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
All those Gadget tricks Nick. Up his sleeve, you don't think he used those for pleasure once in a while?
What do you mean once in a while? Yeah. That's all
those
you
are,
do.
They're all toys. They're all just sex toys.
Okay. Why do you think he never really caught Claw? You know, he just liked to be tickled by him a little bit.
Because he wanted that Claw. It felt so good.
Yeah, he likes to give Claw a lot more.
That's right.
Okay. All
right,
Eric.
It's nice that he likes to give Claw rather than just receive. That would be so selfish.
You know what? That's right.
Yeah. Always give. Right. It's the season of Christmas. Yeah.
Put your Claw on my neck, Daddy Gadget, and force me to say I've been bad. I'm sorry, I did my wish early.
Eric, do you have a theory?
It's
we are suddenly cutting to you now.
Okay, I'm going to go for a pretty rogue theory, and I'm going to get a lot of shit for this in the comments. I don't know if I totally buy this, but I kind of like at least entertaining the notion. There's a shot of Taskmaster in the trailer wielding a bow and arrow, and you could argue, oh, maybe he just learned that skill from Clint Barton in the past. What if it is Clint Barton?
Ooh, love that.
Okay. So just go with me on this. Maybe this is after Civil War, right? And Clint Barton was part of. Thank you. I'm already getting a rogue.
You had a rogue. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I got one too, Eric. Don't.
Okay. Well, we're both ahead of time. So, all of Team Cap has gone fugitive, right? Mm-hmm. But some of them have just gotten arrested and are now on house arrest. Scott Lang and Clint Barton. Now, we didn't see really what happened with Clint in the years in between. He just had an ankle bracelet living on his farm. What if Thunderbolt Ross kidnapped his family and forced Clint Barton to go back to be an assassin for him?
Huh.
And that's what Taskmaster is. He's like, well, I don't want to use my face for this. He's like, all right, cover yourself up, kid.
Yeah.
But I'm going to use you unless you want to see your family die.
Yeah.
You got to take out a couple targets for me in Budapest. Mm-hmm. And that's what the big reveal is going to be. Because it's got to be someone. It's not just going to be like a Tony Masters nobody. It's going to be, you put someone in a mask so that when you reveal them, it's a heartbreaking thing. Now, the clue I'm using for this, it's a little loose, but in Avengers Endgame, on Vormir, when Natasha and Clint are fighting over who gets to sacrifice themselves, it's weird how mirroring Clint is with her movements. They're doing this weird tango. It's like he can read her moves before she makes them.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some task mastery at work there. So what if that was meant as a clue, setting up the fact that Taskmaster, who does have a history in Budapest, we know Clint Barton is going to be revealed in this movie somehow.
He's amazing with weapons, too.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So I think that could be a reveal, and that's what sent him on this place of, like, maybe he gets his family back at the beginning of during Infinity War. His family dusts away, and that plus all the crimes he's committed in Budapest sends him in this dark, dark Ronin path
like,
that we've seen in Endgame.
One reason that I'm feeling this is your early argument of Marvel doesn't like to reveal, you know, behind the mask is someone we've never seen before.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when they introduce that mystery, it reminds me of the Frank Grillo character coming, the Brock Rumlow character, but played by Frank Grillo, coming back as Crossbones. We knew he would. It was a big theory, but they don't ever want to waste anything.
Right.
So why waste this opportunity?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or it could be his daughter.
Right. I think it's more likely that there's some other work at play, whether it's someone from the Red Room, as Marina suggested, or maybe just like the true Tony Masters origin. But if you really want to have an interesting twist and give Clint Barton something really fun to do in this movie, that could be a really cool reveal.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just him again, like almost like a rematch, even though it's taking place at a different time. That's pretty cool. I like that. A second roguey to you,
ooh,
sir.
A second roguey.
Gotta hate that. All right, Tommy, top them. Top them all.
Okay, good. I'm glad that that's all I have to do. Mine pulls off of, mine borrows a little bit from Eric's. So, my theory is that the Taskmaster, I actually don't think that's going to ultimately be the big bad guy in this movie.
Oh.
I think it's kind of a puppet bad guy, or even a
misdirection.
It's a little orange puppet bad guy with a taste for cats and an affinity for trench coats and fedoras. No, I think
pervert.
I think I think it's going to be a Taskmaster is going to be someone hired by Thunderbolt Ross, a similar character. Mm. I don't think it's going to be a Hawkeye like character. I think it's going to either be an existing villain from a Marvel movie that we've had that is somewhat redeemable. Or it's going to be a character introduced in this movie that has a bone to pick with specifically Natasha Romanoff. Mm. And then Thunderbolt Ross is going to hire this person or coerce them into going after her as a kind of backdoor introduction to the Thunderbolts in this Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah. And then I think in the end that Thunderbolt Ross is going to have to work with Natasha Romanoff and probably whoever this Taskmaster character is to take out an even higher evil that's going to emerge throughout the movie. Like the whoever's doing the puppet mastering, not the Taskmaster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to throw out a guess as to who that really is.
I hate to say Willy Wonka because I don't know if he's canon, but I no, I'm thinking possibly a Doctor Doom. Maybe a big bad. I think it's going to be another big bad guy. Glimpse into like someone that could be in the kind of main through line of what is it, Phase 4 now that we're in. I think it could be the introduction of the big bad guy that's going to carry us for the next 10 years.
Tommy, you get one Rogue to start because I'm super into the idea that Taskmaster is not a red herring, but kind of not going to be as important as it seems. Uh-huh. That also has the Crossbones vibe to it too, mm-hmm. where he wasn't really. It was Robert Redford, I think the actual villain there. But then I'm going to give you another little baby quarter Rogue because I really like this idea, even though it was clearly off the cuff, of Doctor Doom. Because something that none of us do, even though we theorize like crazy every week, is talk a lot about instead of, how do we get to Fantastic Four or X-Men or anything, we go so direct those ways, we could backdoor that whole introduction through their villains instead, which would make a lot of sense. Someone like Dr. Doom, who is a political presence and has a lot of money, like has a lot of influence on the world, is a lot easier to bring in than a superhero team that we haven't known about for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's something that we want more. I think we're all eager to have a good Doctor Doom than we are for a good Thunderbolts, personally.
Yeah.
Good job, Tommy.
Thanks,
Tommy, you crushed it.
Thanks, everyone.
We love
Tommy. You did
Tommy.
Do better than
you hear that, Dad?
I hear you.
Are you? Oh.
All right, guys. that's so let us know in the comments which of these you're most in line with of what is actually going to be the story of Taskmaster. If we can hear him again,
no need to mention my weight when you comment that you like mine the best. I'm aware.
Oh, God.
He's like, Tommy's got some heavyweight theories.
His name's Tommy Bechtold. Marina, give it to us in a tweet.
Taskmaster. He, think again, it's a she, Melina.
Yes.
Right? Hashtag. They're the same word. Yeah. They're the same word. Guys.
Did your tweet get drunk?
Yes, she did. My tweet is also female, and it's hashtag shemalina. Hashtag. Yeah. Guys. That's what I did it.
This is the beginning of the episode, Marie.
It's always the tweet version that makes me fall apart.
I think you did great.
Thank
and you.
You
do great on Twitter. Follow her on Twitter. Eric, what's yours?
Clint Barton, if you want to see your kids again, pack up for Budapest because we got some tasks that need mastering.
Ooh.
Sexy as hell, for sure.
Mm. Hashtag what?
Pack up your kids.
Pack up your kids because they need a task.
Oh, yeah.
I go in the duffel.
Yeah.
And then Tommy, what's yours?
Oh, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I would say Boss Ross employs Taskmaster to bask in the glory of Black Widow's story.
Ooh.
Yay.
Wow.
Did bask, was that an internal rhyme with task?
Yes, it was.
Nice.
The contrast between Tommy and mine is just worlds away.
Well, he's the ass master. he's going to have these he writes for hours before these episodes.
Yeah. No, I wrote this yesterday without knowing what we were talking about.
Exactly. Oh, great.
And then
great.
Angled the whole thing into it.
I did. I coerced you all.
It's impressive.
Yeah. Guys, that is impressive.
Thanks so much for people helping us put on this ridiculous show.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Guys, we are watching and loving The Mandalorian.
Yes.
It is so good, and it had no need to be. We would have got Disney Plus anyway, and then it ended up being really good. They've done a great job of fleshing out Mandalorian culture in general, which is one of the most fascinating kind of races or types of people in the Star Wars universe. Honestly, because there's so many unanswered questions about them. I mean, even Boba Fett himself, right, is just a character from a Christmas special. People are like, that's the most interesting thing I've ever seen. Put him in everything. I make a thousand toys.
And he's not even a Mandalorian.
Exactly.
Was just like, he was a clone of someone who wore the armor.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't be making such a big deal about what's going on with the Mandalorian's helmet, I think, unless there is building up to some sort of reveal, either about this character specifically or about all of these people, or maybe not people. But that's for you guys to pitch to me, actually. What are your rogue theories about what's really going on behind that helmet?
Okay, well, the most recent episode, spoiler warning for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, but it's so easy to find. You can
$7.99
they
kind of
talk about that he does take off the helmet sometimes. He doesn't leave it on and then smush his food into it. It's just he doesn't take it off in front of other people.
Shredder.
Yeah, there's a food processor in in the mouthpiece. He does take it off, and we actually see him take it off as he's watching kids play 8 feet away. It could easily turn and be like, oh, that's
I know.
But so that's why I think you're onto something. It is going to be like a reveal. I was wondering, like, they cast Pedro Pascal in this. He's a smoke show. But like,
yes, he is.
What if the reason why?
Sorry, I'm not familiar with that term.
Smoke
a hottie?
Look in the mirror.
Hottie with the skin reacts to sunlight with a smoke effect.
Yes.
And then he does a little show.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
And then a model walks through it and makes blue steel.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And then his head gets smushed. I think, like, the reason he was cast in this was because I think of Game of Thrones. And he was cast because he's a handsome man who gets his face, like, mutilated. Aww. What if he's just, like, a big uggo when he takes off his helmet? And he's like, they cast Pedro Pascal to do the voice, but what if it's just, like, Bruce Valanche under that helmet?
Like old. Well, one, hold on. Bruce Valanche should not need that. he sounds like a human. Bruce Valanche, I know you're watching. I'm so sorry. But also, you did Eric dirty once too. So.
He did. Let me write for the Oscars once. Okay, but not as Bruce Valanche. But what if he's just like not human? What if he has like he's a different race? Mm. And I was thinking, like, what would be the coolest kind of reveal? That's not like, oh, he's been scarred and he's self-conscious about his scar. I don't think that would be the case. But what if like he doesn't want an association? Like, there's some kind of shame to it. We see that kid in the flashback scenes, and you're thinking that's Mandalorian. What if that's not the adult Mando? Mm-hmm. What if Mando is the other kid who saves that kid? And that kid is the same race as Maul. He is a Zabrak, and he has, like, red skin or horns, and he's just kind of weird looking. And because of the association with Maul, or maybe because he's trying to flee Maul, who is active and alive, at least from an earlier time period, he's a foundling, and he adopts the Mandalorian culture. And when he takes off that helmet, the reason he's going to take it off at the end of the series is to scare Baby Yoda away from him. He's going to be like, all right, fine, this is the face of a demon. And it's going to be like that scene like in Air Bud where he's like, get out of here! Come on! Don't you see I don't want you anymore? To save Baby Yoda, to get him to run away, he's going to scare him with his Zabrak face.
No,
just Baby Yoda's gonna be crying, and
Tommy,
it does happen. He gets
you.
the
Tommy collected Eric's
pudding
because Eric made Baby Yoda cry.
I think we're gonna have to make
He's
Baby
gonna
Yoda
make
cry.
Me cry. No.
Right. I don't want it to
happen. Your rogues are on probation. You can get them back.
By doing what? I'll do anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Just walk over to the other side of the table and grab them. But I know that's a lot of work. So
Never mind. I not want anything. Them to stay together forever. No.
Okay, I'm feeling parts of that. That essentially he's just an alien, and there's a misdirect all his memories.
But you know, in this world, humans are aliens. Everyone's an alien.
That's true. Yeah, everyone is. Anyway, so
you little heartbreaker.
Okay, so I'm okay with this. I'm gonna give you just a little rogue for right now, but I'll put it on your probationary stack over
okay.
here.
Oh, when I'm back.
Probationary stack. Sounds good.
What is it?
I don't know. but I think it's pretty obvious that the Mandalorian is two Jawas standing on each other's shoulders. or a tiny little alien flying around in a giant Mandalorian suit.
Yeah, yeah.
But like lifting the arms, then rushing the other arm and lifting that arm.
That's right, just buzzing around.
Like one leg at
Sonic
a time.
Sonic the Hedgehog just zipping around inside there. No, I think this is how I think it goes down. Okay, we've established this parental kind of father-son bond right now between Mandalorian and Baby Yoda. Like, he's kind of, like, sort of parenting him a little bit. I think that's only going to grow over the next couple of episodes. And I think what's going to happen is it's going to come down to a scenario where the Mandalorian is in peril, and normally he would choose to die honorably in battle. But if he does that, he knows he'll be also dooming Baby Yoda. Mm. So he's going to have to remove his helmet for him to live so that he can save Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
And maybe once we do that reveal, I think, honestly, just bottom line financially, it's good. And you know me, I'm bottom line Bechtold. It's classic. Go back and watch New Rock Stars from 15
those
years
are
ago.
Episodes.
I've been saying it.
Those episodes have been scrubbed.
Okay, those have been off the internet for a while now. They're in the FBI's hands.
Yeah.
And justice will be brought. No, but I think like they're gonna. It's going to be a glowing golden hour shot of Pedro Pascal's face, and it's just like, of course.
But it's not glowing, just for clarity, right?
No, he's glowing.
Oh, okay.
He glows in the dark, and then it's full Valanche.
Yeah.
He gives him a full Valanche. No, I think it'll be. I think it'll be like
move.
The thing of like it's gonna come off in like a like he's gonna have to decide like to save Baby Yoda, so he has to take it off so that he can live.
Yeah. And he will be Pedro Pascal,
and he'll be an alien life form, also known as Alf.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's my theory.
No, he'll be Elf, the character from the Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah,
Amanda also eats cats.
Yes.
Do you, either of you have versions where it's like injured or scarred face, or is it just kind of like he looks like a handsome Pedro Pascal?
If they do
or
a scar,
alien?
It'll be a sexy scar. You know, it'll be like it'll a Harrison Ford chin scar or something. Yeah. That, like,
I want one that splits the nose down the middle and opens.
It. I think it's just gonna spell hot across his head.
Yeah. H-A-W-T.
A lightning bolt on the forehead.
H-A-W-T. Yeah.
okay, so you just think basically that we're getting Pedro Pascal back there, and he has to dishonorably take off his.
Well,
his,
I think it'll be a new form of honor. He'll be dishonoring his old ways and kind of honoring his new ways as this
fatherhood,
you know, like when you're a parent, as I know, I have 15 kids, your life becomes about keeping them alive, not so much about keeping yourself alive. So I think this selfless act will be a representation of him leaving his kind of war motivated ways, battle weapon centric ways of Mandalorianism and moving on to something different.
One time when I was very young, I set a fire in the kitchen and my dad had to run out of the bathroom to put it out, it completely pantsless.
Yeah.
And it was a new kind of honor
to
our household that he brought where I had to see that.
Yeah.
But it was for the greater good.
It's the same thing.
I love Philip's stories so much.
You set fire to your kitchen? Oh my God.
I set fire to my snowman who was made of paper that everyone ignored until I burned it.
Well, he had it coming.
Yeah, exactly.
If he was a little cuter, they wouldn't have ignored him and you wouldn't have had to burn
him. That's a true story. My snowman, I miss him.
Tonight's sponsor is Snowmen.
Yeah.
Snowmen attorneys.
Yeah.
Have you burned your snowman down?
It's a line from Lord of the Rings.
Oh my God.
Snowmen can.
Yeah.
I am Snowman.
Reveals
Olaf
Snowman.
With a hat underneath and the helmet, there's a little black top.
Yeah, the
hat.
Carrot is stored inside of him.
Or no, he just pops it out through the back
of
his
head.
Go see Frozen 2, everybody.
Yeah.
Not a sponsor.
This movie's third act sucks.
Connect this back.
I haven't seen it yet. Don't say anything.
Connect this back. What's going to happen behind this mask?
Okay. It is Pedro Pascal. We do see his face, but mine is that he's a single dad who gets to have it all. So he is.
Until,
no, he gets to have it all. This is the
Hallmark movie.
this is the Hallmark movie we want, and it is has to do with his religion. So, because we all know, you know, in the prequels, Jango Fett just walks around without his helmet on completely. They never wear helmets before the rise of the Empire. So my theory is that the Mandalorian religion changes after the rise of the Empire, and that's why they go underground. You can only have one of them come up at a time. They have to never remove their helmets because they're in hiding all the time. And their religion is now, in addition to being this war, you know, culture, and like you're a fighter and that's the only thing you do, now you also have to hide. You also can't take your helmet off. Like, that's part of the religion. And this guy is like, you know what? No. Because if I live as a warrior, I can never have a kid. Okay, I can never have my career and be a parent at the same time, and I'm going to change that. And we've already seen him inspire different actions from the rest of the Mandalorians when they come up a bunch of them at a time to save his mm-hmm. ass to help baby to get baby out on the plane and to get away. So they've already broken the code for him once, right? So I think at the end of this show, he does take off his helmet, but it's not... He doesn't not have to be a Mandalorian anymore. He's basically making a religious statement and saying, look, I'm still a Mandalorian and everybody else can still be a Mandalorian with me, but I get to raise this kid at the same time. You can do both. And he's basically like the Pope of the Mandalorians, and they all start following him, and the religion like changes because he makes a statement about it and he gets to have it all.
He's like a Christ figure. Helmet. And replaces a Pope hat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, a pointy Pope hat, yep.
Yeah. Did you have a part in there where he takes off his helmet?
He takes off the helmet at the end and he just like goes into the sunset with his kid, and the rest of the Mandalorians also take off their helmets. Ooh. And they all do it at the same, like they see him do it, and then they're like, you know what? Yes. And so they all do it too.
That's how Pope Francis became the Pope. He took off his hat and it became Bruce Valanche. They're like, okay, him. He gets to be Pope.
Somewhere, white our smoke. Google alert on Bruce Valanche's phone is just going to be like buzzing. Back, baby.
Yeah. And he chews his phone in two and swallows it like the monster like he is.
The prophecy has been fulfilled.
Something interesting about that. Oh, did I, Tommy, give you any rogues on yours? No, I'm sorry. I actually really liked yours.
Yeah.
Here you go. That's a full-blown rogue. Cash that on your way out. Marina,
it's a rogue man.
Oh, beautiful.
Do you want to build a rogue man?
Great job, Tommy. You're doing great.
Thank you.
His parents were just divorced and were trying to help him work
just
through
yesterday.
It.
Yeah. They separated 23 years ago, but they just finalized it.
Ink is dry.
Staying together for the kids, you know.
Marina, something I like about yours, though, is tying... I mean, it does make sense that hiding his identity and covering himself up is tied to religion. We have those religions on Earth that do have a lot to do with what you allow people to see of you.
Totally.
They tend to be gendered, but in this situation, it maybe
it's just all of them. Yeah, and it's for safety.
Yeah, so I do really like the idea that if he were to eject from this religion or start something else, it would make a lot of sense. Then, like, well, what's the helmet matter then?
Yeah.
If it's about his religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And he knows. I think he knows that it didn't used to be that way. And so he's like,
back
know
in
what?
The day, right?
He's
like, I remember seeing Jango. Everybody walking down the street, hey Jango, hi Jango.
What if we're focusing on the wrong parts of the name Mandalorian? What if we're focusing too much on the man? Duh. But really, it's all about the Lorianne. Take the mask off, and it's Lorianne Robinson, VP of accounting at a local Cloud City law firm. Look. Huh? Great. Is that the craziest rogue theory of all? Bring him over.
Lorianne.
Back in that truck full of rogues.
You can have Eric's quarter.
Okay, great.
Lorianne, are you having some droids do your paperwork for you?
Yeah.
Lorianne.
She's not in her office. Where could she be? On a epic... galactic adventure with Baby Yoda, maybe?
This dog eats avocado.
Well, this is just like the doctor is his mother. We're all just assuming the Mandalorian is some strapping man.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
The doctor is his mother is the story of how you were born.
Yes. Which, my mother was actually the doctor. I was born in a cabbage patch. But she...
You are the original cabbage patch kid that they were based on.
All right, what do I get? Do I get points?
Yeah. We were supposed to keep this episode nice and tight. Marina, yay. You get a rogie for reminding me. And then Eric, you get your two rogies back. And then Tommy learned to share because he's accessing his feelings and sharing them. Aww. And he gave Eric back his quarter rogie.
Great.
That's very sweet. Give him back to me in a tweet.
Oh, motherfucker. All right. Mandalorian single dad gets to have it all. Religion and career and a son in the new...
she was doing so
I was
well.
So close. In the new... religion. So tired.
This takes a lot out of her. Yeah. Eric, go for it.
Mando takes off his helmet, revealing a scary face to make Baby Yoda cry.
Oh,
at
no.
Bruce Valanche suck.
Hashtag
you
Bruce.
Added that.
Yeah.
You're the one mad at him. And then Tommy, what do you got?
Okay, off the top of my head, Mando? Hell no. Lorianne has the master plan.
You abandoned your original.
Oh, wait, no.
Another
for the Lorianne theory.
Yeah. Helmets off. Baby, or you know, helmet. Take your helmet off. Baby Yoda feels grateful. Hang on, I can get here.
See, this is not that easy.
Father and son have fun when the helmets become a jar. They can go far as a family.
Yes.
I like that you use the word a jar because the helmet opens.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
That's where they get the word.
Yeah. Helmet.
This is the hardest part of the show, honestly.
Guys, the hardest part is deciding where to put your current point totals at. Oh, you know what? It's a three-way tie.
Oh!
Because Marina put a lot of extra effort into that nosebleed that she got from that tweet.
God,
But your three-way tie will be settled by rogue questions.
Okay, all right.
Is this a billion rogue questions? No, these are wishes, too. Okay, great.
Some of them
all
are
right.
Wishes.
Questions that none of us have seen before, but we're going to answer quickly. Ready,
yes.
Set,
yes.
David Harbour posted the Black Widow trailer on Instagram with the caption, Marxist Santa Claus is coming to kick your ass, which is perfect. What would Marxist Santa Claus leave in your stocking?
A stepladder so everyone can be the same height and be equal across the world.
You would just be consistently taller.
Yeah, okay, you asked for a quick answer. That's what I gave. Mm-hmm.
She jumped on it.
Yeah.
Probably just coal, but coal would be a good thing.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it was
yeah,
the
yeah.
fruits of the labor of some hardworking proletariat.
That's great.
Yay, coal!
Go woohoo!
I think it would just be a glossary of buzzwords about Marxism so I could feel like I could contribute to this conversation rather than just racking my brain for like 10th grade economics class and
yeah.
trying to sound smart.
Wow. I'm sorry we put you in this situation.
It's okay. It's fine. Also Q-tips because my ears get really dirty.
Oh,
this
nice.
Is just for you now.
Yeah. It's a nice neutral
great.
Gift.
Those are great. Disney has made Baby Yoda dolls available for purchase, but you don't get them till April.
That's dumb.
You can buy them right now. You don't get them till April. How will you pass the time until your Baby Yoda doll arrives?
That's funny. Making my own Baby Yodas. Yeah, I'm going to get pregnant and have a kid. And then,
whoa, big news.
Yeah.
Tommy, congrats.
And then when it doesn't turn out to be Baby Yoda, then I discard them. Oh, I reveal myself to be Darth Maul, scare the kid away, like you said, and then get my Baby Yoda in the mail.
Wow.
I mean, it would eat up that time.
It would eat up that time. You asked yeah. I was going to use the time.
That's a solid
how.
4 months of activity. Yeah. I think full term pregnancy,
yeah.
discarding of kid.
Yeah.
Well,
Maul,
no, the kid gets scared
turn?
Away,
yeah.
but he's an infant that can't walk. So it's
then the
very
kid comes back to, you know, later murder me as an adult is for revenge.
Maybe
so it's a full circle.
Finds that kid and mm-hmm. raises it.
Oh, yeah. Great. Maybe I live the story.
The Cabbage Patch story of how Tommy came
saved
to be.
By a female doctor. okay, so how I would spend my 4 months would be wondering if it's a real thing or an April Fool's joke, because nothing like feeling like an April Fool in December ordering a Christmas present only
aww.
To find April 1st. There is no Baby Yoda. You imagined him. None of these people are real. You created your friends, Eric, Marina, and Philip.
What's wrong with creating your friends?
It's all just been a dream
oh my
inside
God.
The head of Bruce the lamp.
The garbled oversized head. Of
depends on the dream.
Tommy, both of these answers have me worried about how you see yourself and how you feel about yourself at the moment.
Oh, no, no. I feel very, very good about myself. I'm fine. I'm fine.
This is Alf in a trench coat.
I'm fine.
You're digging your nails into your legs, and ow! I love it. Guys, Laura Dern. Oh, wait, sorry, Eric. Eric, what's your
answer? Oh, you know me. I'm just going to put myself in dangerous, life-threatening situations in front of babies until one of them uses a force to save me, and then we form a partnership.
Oh, cute.
Weird.
Yours is less effort than mine.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Laura Dern joked in an interview that she saw Baby Yoda at an NBA game. Oh, God. Laura Dern with the classics. Yeah. What would Baby Yoda be doing at a baseball game? If you're a Baby Yoda themed one.
A baseball game. NBA?
Basketball game.
He'd have a big old cup of soda, but there's no lid on it, and he'd be holding it like a big cup of tea.
Aww.
Being all cute.
I mean, I think we got to check in on Laura Dern. Like, yeah. Laura Dern, do you see Baby Yoda right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, took a bunch of mushrooms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Game.
I think it's pretty obvious. Baby Yoda is 50 years old, so he's horny, and he's getting on the kiss cam. Okay? He's been around for 50 years. He's looking for some smooches.
Who wouldn't?
He wants some smooches on the kiss cam.
Everybody would be
not going to get on the kiss cam if you're sitting by yourself.
Yeah, he is. He's going to do
this. Dude, people would line up if there was Baby Yoda. Oh, man. I'd be in line.
Keep doing that real quick. Huh? Let's go ahead and kiss cam, Tommy. Editors,
oh,
please.
You guys, kiss cam.
Thank you, Marina, for bailing on that immediately. Be like, you and Eric, for sure.
Please don't touch
me with your gross face.
Both of you.
I think Baby Yoda would be at the NBA game scouting. You know, he's wise. He's patient.
Oh.
You know, he's looking for people that he could use for his new franchise.
Nice.
Great.
You
know? I love all of these answers, and I'm mostly going to acknowledge that, Tommy, you worked the hardest this episode to share what you were thinking about and your self-esteem. Is improving, it sounds like. And for that, you get the one Rogie that I award for this round of Rogue Questions. And Tommy is our winner of this episode of Rogue Theory. So Tommy's wish comes true. I wish for 1,000 more wishes.
Or
one hug from my dad.
Both are priceless. And only one has no chance of happening.
They're both fictional, yeah.
We'll give you those 1,000 wishes.
Yeah, you get 1,000 wishes.
Let's get a hug from... Eric, you do a spot-on Mr. Bechtold.
Tom?
Yes, Papa?
What did I tell you about knocking?
Never knock unless you're sure that you don't have a gun pointed at you on the other side of the door.
That's right. Now, why don't you close that door behind you? Give Papa a
hug.
Okay. Origin story.
Da, 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 da.
Yay. Aww, there
friends.
We go.
Wait a second.
Dad and son.
Alf?
Ooh. It's cold up here in northern New York.
Northern New York.
All right, great work, Tommy. That's all we need to take this pervert down. Get out of here.
Shit. I can't go back to my home planet. There, cats eat you.
Oh, my God.
It's Russia. Guys, that's it for this episode of Rogue Theory. Thanks for going rogue with us. Thanks to our guest, Tommy Bechtel.
Yay.
Marina Mastros. And Eric Voss.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what we're working on this week.
Hey, it was fun to talk about Mandalorian with Marina because she's going to be stepping in to do the Mandalorian breakdown of episode 5 this weekend.
Eric lost a bet, so now I get to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
And we're going to be launching a new show format that Philip and I have been working really hard on.
Ooh.
A lot of people here have been working really hard on Friday, so keep an eye out.
Cool.
Yeah, great. All right. We'll see you in those videos. Bye-bye.
Bye.